You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Catholics across Western Washington received news last week that parishes will be consolidating. The Archdiocese of Seattle, which covers Western Washington from the Canadian to Oregon border, announced an initiative called Partners in the Gospel. Parishioners were played a video discussing the need to adapt to a shifting landscape.
We all are aware of the rapid pace of change that's going on in the world. The church, too, is always changing, and that requires us to continue to reflect upon how we're being called to be church in the midst of this reality today.
The Archdiocese says it will consolidate churches into parish families that share priests and buildings. Rosa Luna attends Pope Pius X Church in Mountlake Terrace. She says she was shocked to learn the news now because attendance has been down for years and the priest shortage is nothing new.
So I guess I just wasn't expecting it. Although after you consider it, it makes complete sense and it seems like the right thing to do.
While Rosa was surprised to learn about the consolidation, she plans to attend whatever church her parish ends up at.
What matters here isn't the building. You can go to any church in any country on a given day, and the mass readings and the mass is the same. I think what we should be mourning more right now is the things that do matter, which is people are falling away from the church.
To learn more about the plans and past efforts to consolidate Catholic churches in Western Washington, I spoke with Nina Shapiro. She's a reporter for the Seattle Times and has been writing about changes in the Catholic Church. And Nina started our conversation by laying out the Partners in the Gospel plan.
So the plan is a really big deal, and it affects almost every parish across Western Washington. And all these parishes are going to be consolidated into what they're calling families of parishes. So they're going to group two or more parishes together. And then those bigger parishes that become one, those consolidated parishes, are then going to decide what's going to happen, you know, both to the larger parish, but also to the churches that belong to these parishes. And so, as you can imagine, it has huge implications, both, you know, in terms of these parishes becoming one and the people in the parishes joining together, but also raising the possibility that these churches are going to close. And as we know from experience, that can be a really agonizing process for people that belong to those parishes.
We touched on mass attendance, but let's lay out the reasons for this consolidation process. What's going on with the Archdiocese of Seattle that's prompting this?
Well, this has really been happening for a long time. It's not just the Archdiocese of Seattle. It's the Catholic Church across the country and really across the world. And it has been grappling with a lot of things. So first of all, there's a really big priest shortage. So in the Seattle Archdiocese, there are 136 parishes. Right now, the Archdiocese has 80 priests. Now they make up the difference with visiting priests from various places, but there are already priests who are taking on more than one parish. And then in 15 years, they project they'll have 65 priests to serve all those 136 parishes. Mm. So they need a way for all these parishes to be served. And, you know, when I was talking to one of the leaders of this plan, who himself is a pastor, he said, you know, we're tired. We've been tired for a really long time because people have been stretched so thin. So that's one really big problem. The other problem is, as I mentioned, is that mass attendance has been declining for a long time. And, you know, there are several factors for this. One factor is just the increasing secularization of society and people's disinclination to attend church regularly the way they used to. And that was exacerbated during COVID, of course. But then the Catholic Church has also been dealing with some distinct issues. There's obviously been the priest sexual abuse crisis, which has had huge huge ramifications across the world. And there have been other controversies over whether women priests should be allowed, whether priests should be allowed to marry, reproductive rights. So there's really been a lot going on.
Yeah, the Archdiocese has paid more than $100 million in settlements to people who say they were victims of sex abuse by church personnel since the 1980s. What are you hearing from parishioners about the plan, Nina? Because as we've mentioned, this is really a seismic shift in the way that their churches may be organized.
Yeah, and I went into it having done some reporting on prior closures. And that had been something that was really painful for those parishioners who belonged to those churches. And, you know, three churches in Seattle closed. There were others in Tacoma and Everett that joined together and resulted in some closures. And there was a feeling at that time that the public input was really lip service, that the Archdiocese was not interested in changing its mind about the plan that it had laid out. So I went in knowing that, and I was surprised that this time they really seem to be saying this is going to be a different plan. And that's what the leaders of the Archdiocese are saying. This is going to involve parishioners. And the parishioners I talked to seem receptive to that message. They know that there's a problem. Some were nervous and wondering what that means for their own church and whether it might close. But they also felt like this was something that wasn't going to be forced in the same way that last time was, and that this was going to be more of a participatory process where the parishes would join together and then they would collectively figure out what the plan would be from there, whether they wanted to close and sell some of the churches. And that real estate, of course, fetches a lot of money in today's market. Or it's possible they could repurpose some of those buildings for other things, like homeless shelter or an early learning center or something like that. Or they could rotate services from church to church. So that's all up in the air. And none of the details of the plan have been announced yet. So, you know, that there's a whole process that's going to take place over the next year before there's even a preliminary, you know, plan. These parishes are going to join together. So I would say this is in this early stage, people are accepting it, at least the people I talk to. But what's really, you know, it's really going to come down to when the nitty-gritty is discussed, as those parishes join together, those configurations are announced, people are deciding what buildings should close. I think that's when things could get gnarly.
Yeah. But it sounds like, from your initial reporting, that the feeling among parishioners is that the engagement process might be more genuine this time around. You mentioned the churches that were closed recently. In Seattle, those were St. Patrick's on Capitol Hill, Our Lady of Mount Virgin in Mount Baker, and St. Mary's in the Central District. And there was a lot of frustration over that process. Have there been lessons learned?
I think there have been. I mean, I sense that. You know, I asked the leaders directly, is this going to be like last time, where people felt like they weren't really heard? And they said, no, you know, this is going to be a different process. That, you know, the truth is obviously going to be in the telling when it gets down to it.
Yeah.
But that's what they're saying now. And we'll see. I mean, the decisions were not accepted by some. By some, they were. Some people moved on and some people felt okay about it. But the groups at those churches that closed in Seattle actually appealed to the Vatican. And two of those appeals are still pending.
Oh, wow.
Which means those churches can't be sold. Nothing can really happen yet. And one group actually from Our Lady of Mount Virgin, which is in Mount Baker, they actually continued meeting outside the locked church building, you know? So, I mean, feeling was really intense. And there was a feeling of anger because people felt they weren't heard. They felt that they had unique communities that they had formed for various reasons. You know, some people felt like their specific community was ignored. There was a group that attended the Spanish language mass at St. Mary that felt like, you know, they were just kind of pushed aside and weren't part of the plan for where the church attendees would go from then on. So there were a lot of bitter feelings. And it sounds like they did learn some lessons from that.
You talked about the Spanish language mass. Of course, the Archdiocese of Seattle holds mass in many different languages. How will the Archdiocese handle consolidating these communities? Will there be overlapping, you know, languages at different parishes, available services for folks who are moved from maybe a language-specific parish? Have they talked about that yet?
They do have someone who is participating in this process, at least one person who is looking at that issue, the issue of different languages and different ethnicities. And that was all part of the ostensible calculus last time. And there are various options for people. There are a number of Spanish language masses around the Archdiocese, around Seattle. Other languages can be a bit tricky. The Chinese language community felt bereft after the closing of Our Lady of Mount Virgin, and they had been lobbying for a long time for a Chinese language mass. So that is part of what makes it more complicated. So they're aware of it. How that will all play out, we don't yet know.
There has been some recent scrutiny on the Seattle Archdiocese's finances after it bought a $2.4 million home in Mount Baker for Archbishop Paul Achin. The church used an LLC for the purchase, but a watchdog group called Heal Our Church made that real estate deal public and then raised transparency concerns. Has the Archdiocese commented on the group's criticism of its financial management?
Yeah, I mean, they portray the buying of that house as downsizing, because at the same time, they are selling the previous residence, which is a much grander house, and it's fetching something like $13 million, and they're selling off various other real estate. But obviously, with the resentment that's happening because of some of the closures, because of the longstanding issues around sexual abuse and transparency, you know, people are taking a closer look, and some people are upset about it.
As you mentioned, we are talking about big long-term trends in American Catholicism here that the Seattle Archdiocese is dealing with. Declines in baptisms and mass attendance, fewer men choosing the priesthood. Is the Archdiocese optimistic that they'll continue to weather this crisis after this consolidation process?
Well, you know, one of the leaders said to me, this is a new beginning. The one who said we were so tired.
Yeah.
So I would say, I mean, at least in their public presentation, they're hopeful, but they're obviously watching what's happening. I think they have to confront the trends. They are saying this is the way to do it, that if you consolidate parishes, you can join resources and can more effectively build the church, that you can have more outreach, that you can have more vibrant communities. But of course, part of the danger is that you will also alienate some people. And, you know, as I mentioned, you know, some of these churches that were already closed, they were smaller, but the people that went there felt very passionately about them. They, you know, they felt, you know, not only were some, did some grow up in the church, some planned to die in the church, to be buried there, you know, it meant a lot to people, but also they had various unique communities that they had built. St. Mary, which was the church that had this community that went to Spanish language mass that I mentioned, It was a unique church, and it was really a bilingual community in many ways. They attempted to join the English-speaking and Spanish-speaking communities and to really do things together, which is pretty rare. St. Patrick, they had services for people who were deaf. You know, they had a very active progressive ministry. So it's a balancing act between keeping their long-term parishioners happy and passionate and trying to reach out to new people.
Nina Shapiro reports on this and many other issues at the Seattle Times. Thank you so much, Nina, for sharing your reporting, especially about the emotions involved here. I know that it's going to be a difficult process for many Western Washington Catholics, and we'll be following your reporting in the Times.
Thanks, Libby.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. Don't forget you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org or on your favorite podcast app.